Hey, Potters, welcome to episode 313 of Cosplay, the podcast for all things cosplay. I'm back.
Yay! I am so happy that you are back. You have no idea.
Long story short, I had a lot of stuff to deal with in personal life, and I am now very, very far away from Val.
Yeah.
And that makes me very sad.
Sad face. We're all sad face. It'll be okay, though.
Those who know, know.
Yeah.
But it will bring a lot of new opportunities, both for me personally and for the show. And so hopefully there will be some sort of a silver lining to this as I slowly figure out what I'm supposed to do with all my cosplay stuff now and where it will go and how much of it I have to get rid of.
Honestly, what's funny...
I'm seriously debating just starting over with my cosplay collection and just like recycling all of it.
Of course you would.
Because there are very few of those costumes that I wear often, especially because a lot of my costumes involve like a lot of armor or a lot of magnets or just very complicated costumes. And so I don't wear very many of them very often. And so it wouldn't necessarily be out of the ordinary for me to just only have one or two cosplays for right now and then recycle the rest.
Right.
Which, please don't throw old costumes away if you can help it. We have previous episodes where we have talked to Lumika Cosplay about all of the wonderful things that you can do to keep them out of the landfill. So please feel free to go back and watch that awesome episode if you would like. And I'm trying to walk the walk, as it were, and not throw my stuff away. I recycle all the fabric, all of the findings and things like that. And so I'm very seriously debating just starting over and then picking maybe two, because I want to keep this very doable.
Right.
Two cosplays that I want to work on that I would be willing to wear. And just start there and scrub my wish list fresh, because I think I have two dozen cosplays on it at this point that I want to make that I just can't get the motivation to start making. Ah! The artist's dilemma. I have so many choices, and so I can't pick any of them.
By the way, we're talking about cosplay updates. But it's funny that you mentioned...
Well, that was kind of like a very informal segue into cosplay updates.
It's funny that you mentioned that, because I was listening to a different cosplay podcast recently, and unfortunately I can't recall which one, but where they talk about, you know, what are your cosplay goals? What's your cosplay list like? And this person said, you know, over the years they decided to get rid of their cosplay list because they found it to be just too stressful to try to meet that list and the expectations and the timetable. It was like, you know what, once I got rid of the list and I just worked on whatever I was interested in that moment, it made it so much more fun and I was a lot more into the project. And I was like, I think that's a great way of looking at it. Instead of me having this pie in the sky goal of let me get this cosplay done 50 years from now, let me just focus on the thing that I want to work on this exact moment, and I'll have way more fun doing that instead of stressing myself out over something that probably will never get done.
Right. Part of my problem is that I tend to change body size often, depending on my life circumstance at the time. Mm-hmm. And so I don't necessarily want to make cosplays where that is a concern.
Sure.
Which is about half my cosplay list. And then for the rest of it, it's like, I want to make these beautiful, elaborate, complex costumes because I see so many other cosplayers that have these amazing results with different characters and different costumes and takes on them. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily that I want to make that costume. It's that I want to make that kind of costume.
Sure.
But then once I start preparing to work on something like that, it starts getting so overwhelming.
Yeah.
To me, it's like, it's a ton of effort for a costume that I'm only going to wear maybe once a year. Maybe. Is it worth all of my effort and time for what is effectively a small amount of payoff, even though basically I'm at the age where these cosplays are going to end up lasting me years if I make them well?
Yeah, that's definitely what my closet has become.
Getting myself started.
Yeah. It's figuring out what that starting point is. A couple of weeks ago, I ended up doing another clean out of my craft storage, and I didn't really have much to get rid of anyway, but still I was like, I just need to get things moved around. I need to get rid of some stuff. And I still ended up, even though I'd already had done a clean out of the fabric like a year ago, I still got rid of nearly a full Rubbermaid bin full of fabric. I donated it to a local theater. and got rid of a couple of costumes because it was like the armor is got to be completely redone and I'm never going to redo it. I may as well not keep it. And it's just wild to me that even though I've been trying so hard to keep that organized and minimize, I still open the closet and go, the closet's full. How is the closet full? I don't understand. But the reason the closet is full is because I do the elaborate things. So they're bigger, they're poofier, they take up more space. So I actually don't have that many costumes in there. They visually take up so much more. And now I have to be mindful of that, of anything else I make in the future. Like, oh God, where am I going to store it? The eternal problem.
And to your point, Sakura, Deedlit's actually one of the few I would keep.
Yay!
Because Deedlit is so easy to wear. It's very comfortable for the most part. And it still fits for the most part, at least my redone version of it. That's one of the few I might actually go and redo the armor version of it. The only, I don't want to say concern, but the only worry that I have is that, I don't know if you've been to cons nowadays, but the anime scene has changed as far as what people are into. Uh-huh. And it's like, no one's going to recognize Deedlit anymore because you have to have been of a certain age to have seen the anime and to even know that the anime exists to go see it. And I know that there are cycles, so this is not meant to be an age thing, but there are cycles where like old anime comes back again and becomes new again. Sure. And so like people are starting to get back into first generation Pokemon and all the old Legend of Zelda games and all the old Naruto and things like that. But it's not very widespread. It's usually just the popular series that tend to come back again and again. It's not a lot of the other old school animes that make a comeback. And so it's like, well, I can wear it. No one's ever going to take my picture. No one's going to know who this character is. It would just be for my benefit. And I'm not sure that for some of my costumes, I need that benefit. Because I have pictures of myself in that costume. I know what it was like when I was in that costume and character. So I don't really have to redo it and wear it again to get that feeling. So,
yeah,
I don't know. It's a very philosophical take, I think, on where I want to be as a cosplayer going forward.
Mm-hmm. And the reason that we usually do it, even if we don't recognize it or we put it in the back of our brain, is we do want to get some, you know, recognition, like somebody calls out our character name. Like, we absolutely do it for the attention. You can say otherwise, but we do it for the attention. So it's fun, especially when it's from an older anime or an older video game or a manga, and it's like, oh, you know this thing. We are now best friends.
Exactly. It's about the fandom, too, because it's not that I necessarily want my picture taken. It's more that I want acknowledgement of my craftsmanship, yes. But I also want to know that there are other people who know of this thing that I love and also too. And sometimes that's the only way you get to know, because people don't always advertise their fandom by like wearing a shirt from it or you know, having pins from it or something. Like sometimes it's literally somebody calls out to you in your costume, you know, cue the Spider-Man meme or cue the Leo DiCaprio meme. It's like, hey, you're wearing the thing from that series. And that's all you need. That's what you need to feel good.
Mm-hmm. Just trying to think of what's in my closet. And I'm like,
Amber's having an existential crisis over cosplay.
Probably my most recognizable thing, my April O'Neil costume from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I finally had to throw that thing out. I have worn that a ton over a very long period of time. I'm very glad that I constructed it the way that I did, because that was a very challenging jumpsuit, but I made it very, very well. But it was time for it to go. It was past its life cycle and it could not be recycled. But I was just thinking back in my closet now going like, yeah, not sure how much people would know any of these costumes from any of these characters. Like, it might even be questionable for my one Padme costume. And I'm like, wow, anything that I've got in there, you got to be a big fan of that one little niche thing, because you're not going to recognize it. And I think I'm okay with that.
I mean, I don't have to wear popular things necessarily, just things that there will be at least one person at a convention who knows what this is.
Yeah, they'll recognize it somehow in some way. Yeah.
Speaking of how things are changing,
yes,
how the times they are a-changing.
Are they really changing, though?
Today's episode topic? Yes, they are massively changing.
A lot of things in life are changing, but I don't think our topic has really changed much. We're going to talk about why conventions hate cosplayers. And for those who were there for the last after session, I did talk about this during the after session, but we had a very weird audio issue with YouTube where it had this weird little tinny noise. And it's funny because in the playback, you can't hear it. But once you downloaded the video, it was there. So I had no way of editing that out. So we're taking the after session and we're making it into a full topic in this one. It's based off of a couple of videos that I initially brought to Amber's attention. And they were really good videos, but they were also videos where I was like, I don't think they went in too deep into the topic. Because I think it's a very valuable discussion as cosplayers are such a predominant factor of the convention scene, especially anime conventions. And it's just wild to me, as somebody who's been cosplaying for 20 years now, that we're still treated the same way, that there really hasn't been very much improvement. And it sucks.
Now, to an extent, I would argue that there's been at least some change, even if it hasn't been like a ton of
there's
change,
minor but improvements.
Yes, and there are also in some ways where it has gone downhill, I think. Mm-hmm. And we can get into this.
Yes, absolutely.
But where should we start aside from obviously the very clickbaity title of the topic that we're covering today?
Well, I guess why don't we start with our personal experiences, especially since both of us have been in the scene for so long now. What did we think about when it was like back then versus how it is today?
Well, back in my day.
Back in my day, we used to go to conventions uphill both ways in the snow.
Well, I don't think I would ever do that.
But same.
I think when I first, like very first got into conventions, cosplay wasn't even that much of a thing to begin with. There weren't that many cosplayers at the convention. And of those that were there, they were not quite the same, we'll say, professional quality that you might see now if you go to conventions. A lot of the costumes were very obviously handmade. Mm-hmm. They weren't all necessarily finished. Not everybody had the wigs, the shoes, the contacts, things like that. But you could definitely tell that there was love there for the character, for the fandom. And that person had spent a lot of effort into doing their thing. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of sets the stage for like when things first started. So I would say in that time, cosplay wasn't even on folks' radar as much yet. And then it kind of got more popular from there. And that could be attributed to a ton of things. I mean, that's more of an academic exercise than I'm really qualified for. I'm sure that there are some very popular movies and TV series and video games that really helped with that. A lot of companies started putting out costume guides to where you could start seeing different perspectives of characters and such, maybe 360 degree views of them, made it easier for cosplay. You had a lot more cosplay companies springing up. Companies that specialize in wigs, companies that specialize in pre-made cosplays, that sort of thing. And people started jumping into cosplay more as a business venture. Mm-hmm. So it was less about, hey, I'm a hobbyist cosplayer. I really love this fandom and character. Let me dress up as them. It started becoming more of a, hey, let me start an Instagram or Facebook or the equivalent at the time. Let me start a profile, basically, put up a bunch of really professional pictures of myself in cosplay, get a bunch of likes, and maybe I can go start guesting on the convention circuit. Mm-hmm. That sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And so I would say after a few years, we kind of started getting towards a peak of that point where you started really having very lengthy cosplay contests. And then you started having a lot more cosplay guests. Mm-hmm. You started having entire tracks at conventions that were dedicated to cosplay, a lot more marketing of these cosplay panels, that sort of thing. And so I don't want to go all the way through the history of cosplay, just that at least for my own experience, when things started out, TLDR, cosplay wasn't as much of a thing, but it very quickly grew into a thing. Mm-hmm. And I would argue that at the height, the heyday of that time period, I think a lot of conventions actually did care about cosplay, maybe not necessarily for the sake of the cosplay, right, more because it brought in extra people and extra tickets and things like that, which don't blame them. But at least there was some attention and some care put into that sort of thing. Conventions actually had cosplay heads that were dedicated to this stuff. So I will pause there and pass it back to you.
Yeah, because when I started, it was a little bit after you did. And this is when, and I really think social media is what helped kind of bring cosplay to the forefront in the late 2000s. The fact that we had forums that were transitioning over to Facebook. And like, this is like the pre-Twitter, pre-Instagram days. We had Facebook, we had Facebook groups. It was a lot easier to connect with your local cosplay community or even like the cosplay community at large throughout North America and then, you know, expanding it out into the world. One of the first conventions I went to, I remember Yaya Han was a guest. And like that in itself was just kind of blowing my mind. Like, wait, this is a person who's a costumer and they're a convention guest. Like they're there to not only teach us things about cosplay, but to also help with the cosplay contest. And you could get autographs from this person. Like, okay, that's cool. That's unique. That's different. And it's interesting because when I think about my time back then, it's kind of similar to how you described it. But also it always felt like cosplay was this redheaded stepchild. I hate using that comparison, but I don't know how else to describe it when it comes to anything regarding our needs or to help promote the art of cosplay. We're at the bottom of the pack on the guest list. We tend to get underpaid, overworked, and then some. We don't take up as much space in the convention sphere as like other artists or other guests. And I understand that industry guests, you know, voice actors, animators, do have their place, and I'm not saying that they should be paid less, but the work that cosplayers are putting into being a guest or being available at a convention is more than what a lot of those voice actors are doing, and they should be given proper compensation for it. So for me, it feels like, especially when I started entering into the guesting side of things, and then as a staff member, it just always surprised me that it was like, we were not making strides in this area. And anytime a cosplayer tried to speak up and say, hey, I want to get some type of compensation for the work that I'm doing, they tend to kind of been like, okay, we'll find somebody else who will play our game for nothing. It's like, oh, okay. And then kind of just feel like, well, now I have to do it because otherwise how else do I get my name out there and get off to bigger conventions? And there's that whole dichotomy with it. It's just, it always felt like the conventions utilize cosplay for marketing, but then never knew how to properly back it up and support the cosplay community. That's just my two cents.
I do have fond memories of the heyday, I guess, of what I would call the popularity of cosplay at conventions, because I have probably a hot take on what's happened since then. But I do remember when they started spending decent amounts of money and effort into getting big name cosplayers to come, even from across the pond, to come and headline cons. I remember all of the excitement when Jay Hart was invited to a convention, which does not happen often. And when Kamui came to Akon and just how full those panels were. And Evil Ted, when he came to AllCon, like that was a massive, massive hit. And so whenever you have these really popular big names in the cosplay community that come to your con, it paid off. At least in terms of, you know, headcount and, and butts in seats at the convention, at least for those panels. Now, granted, unfortunately, what that meant is that those cosplayers who were still very skilled, like very, very talented cosplayers, very passionate about their craft, good teachers, if you weren't as well known or if you were an up-and-comer, you just didn't have the same draw as some of those. And it was almost, it came across like an afterthought. Like, yes, we're trying to show the cosplay community that we care, but then they wouldn't promote these folks in the same way. They wouldn't give them that marketing push and say, hey, here's all the cool stuff these people have done. Here's when their panels are, spotlight on them, like that sort of thing. And not just, hey, here's a booth in the artist alley or the dealer's den and have a couple panels and then go judge the cosplay contest and you're done. Like, It felt like there was definitely a dichotomy in how the different guests and the different levels of guests are treated sometimes at conventions.
And definitely, I think it's also because with cosplayers, we don't have representation. We're kind of going it off on our own. Yeah, we really should at this point. But I mean, it's standard as an actor. You've got a publicist, you've got PR reps, you've got people to handle all of this for you to ensure that you get properly compensated. There really isn't any like one agency or group that will do it for cosplayers. I'll see it more often now when it comes to those cosplayers who are publishing books. And they're doing it like through an appropriate, like actual long-standing publishing house. But if they're self-publishing, obviously they're not doing it. Or if it's a tiny publisher, they're not doing that. So it's just interesting to see that so much of what we have to fight for, we have to do all that extra work ourselves. So not only are we marketing ourselves and working on our skills and improving our website and doing our social media, we also need to be able our own personal advocates. That's just so much work when you're just trying to get your foot into the door.
And that doesn't even count any work that you have to do if you have a booth at the con, where if you have autographs offered, then you have to go have photo shoots, you have to go have prints made, you have to go and maintain that relationship and make sure that you have everything in stock, and then you have to cart it with you and from the con if you don't end up selling all of your merch. And that also goes if you have any other sort of like actual physical product that you have made or manufactured to sell at your booth, that's even more work in addition to all of the other stuff. Mm-hmm. And then you also, and I say this as somebody who is the introvertiest introvert to ever enter, you also have to be personable mm-hmm. at your table and very gregarious and outgoing and basically market yourself for 12 hours a day at the con while you're at your table. You have to drive people to your table, tell them what you're all about, keep their interest, and then you have to maintain that same front as you're off doing panels and judging, and you basically have to be like very out. And that takes a ton of effort and energy if that's not something that you do on the daily or if it's not your personality.
Yeah. And especially being a cosplayer, you're expected to also be dressed up through most of this. So yes. I don't think people are aware, those who are listening and watching right now, you all are fully aware of this, but the general public may not be aware of just how exhausting it is to wear a costume for 15 hours, yeah, even 3 hours. It's really, really tiring. So it's all of that work, and then you're doing it in costume on top of that. It's just such an energy sap. And it's like, I think about all of the times where I guested and I got a badge, but that was it. I didn't get anything else. And I was putting in 13, 14 hour days of working and being sociable, which is a lot of work for somebody who's an introvert like me. But holding down panels and then helping out with the cosplay contest. And it's just, it's exhausting. And it was like, I got paid in a badge that I didn't even get a chance to use. It's not like I got a chance to walk around the con and experience it because I was working the whole time. And it was essentially, I was working for exposure, which didn't really help me in the long run.
Now, from that peak, I would argue things have actually gone downhill. Yeah. For cosplayers.
Agree.
Since then. And I would argue that a massive part of that is due to a couple of factors. Mm-hmm. And the primary one is that back in the day, you used to be able to make a costume for fairly cheaply, and you could attend a con for also fairly cheaply, or at least reasonably expensive. You didn't have to stay at the hotel. You didn't necessarily have to pay parking. Basically, you had to pay for your cosplay, your badge, food, and then you had whatever left over that you could spend on merch, which was also fairly reasonably priced at the time. So you could generally like have your cake and eat it too in the early days of cons. I would argue for the most part, this is not every con, for the most part, it is very expensive to attend cons now. And that's not counting the fact that it is so much more expensive to make cosplay now, mm-hmm. especially if you're trying to get a quality cosplay. Even buying it off the rack is still $200 for a decent cosplay now. I used to be able to do entire cons for $200, including the cosplay, the badge, the food, and everything else. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, you are lucky if you get out of a con for maybe $1,000 if you're staying at the hotel. And that's if it's an inexpensive hotel that you're cutting with other people.
Good luck. Yeah, you definitely have to be cramming that room to share the expense, because right. I don't know of any hotel that would be quote unquote cheap enough to be under a grand.
Right. And so the folks that are already spending large amounts of money on their cosplay and on the con are not spending that extra money for autographs. They're not spending the extra money in the dealer's den and at the artist alley. Basically, they're not participating in as much of the commerce part of the con, which for a con is a bad thing, because as a con, you want to make money. You have to make money in some ways to survive as a con. Mm-hmm. And so if you have these people who are not spending money at your con, you're probably not as apt to put a lot of effort into attracting those folks to your con, because you know that they're just coming to get their picture taken and not to spend money. Now, that is, again, a stereotype. It's not 100% true. But I do think that that is a part of it, is that cosplayers tend to spend a lot more of their money on the cosplay, not at the con, because they like the cosplay part of the con more than they like the other stuff at the con.
Yeah, definitely a stereotype.
So there is that.
I think for sure, if we polled 100 cosplayers, it'd be like,
sure.
Oh yeah, we totally spend all this money on Artist Alley. Probably a lot of them were like, oh yeah, sure. We spend a lot of money at the convention before we even take into account our cosplay. But I think there is a misguided stereotype that all we focus on is the wearing of the costume, wanting to get our photo taken, and then getting the heck on out of there. Like,
sure.
No, all of us are pretty average congoers who want to enjoy the convention experience, whatever that
sure.
may be.
Sure. And also, I think there's a bit of another stereotype, which is that cosplay has become a sort of just fancified dress up. That there's not much else to cosplay besides putting on a costume and then parading around getting your picture taken. Obviously, as cosplayers, we know that that's not true. Mm-hmm. I will say that there is a distinct perception of that, that you are basically just going around having pictures taken and that's all there is to cosplay. And if you want more than that, go on YouTube. That there are other bigger, better draws to our conventions than people who are, you know, dressing up.
Once upon a time, we had these things called cosplay chess and the cosplay dating game, and just these random events that was specifically cosplay centric outside of the cosplay contest. And they were great fun panels, and I haven't seen those in years. I miss those panels.
Those were huge draws.
They were.
Those panels were always packed to capacity. And that doesn't even count the numerous Q&A panels.
Mm-hmm.
For different series where it tended to be cosplayers who were running
right.
it and not just fans of the show.
Right.
And so it basically ended up being a giant cosplay panel. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, there is the ever popular Iron Cosplay.
Ah, yes. I haven't seen one of those in ages either, too. Good gravy.
They're very rare mm-hmm. nowadays. You might, on rare occasion, you might see them. Incidentally, another great way to use up some of your old cosplay supplies is to donate them so that you can have an Iron Cosplay
oh, yeah.
at your local convention. But there were plenty of other events in addition to the usual fandom photo shoots, which were so popular that we had to have a coordinator at some cons that just took care of the scheduling of all of these.
Yep.
That's how popular it was. And so cosplay was very popular. Just something happened to somehow convince people that it just wasn't as important anymore, as though something had changed, although I could not tell you specifically what changed. I mean, yes, I know everybody is screaming at me, COVID! Everybody's thinking, COVID!
No, this was happening before COVID.
This was before COVID. And so something changed in the cosplay community, or the perception of the cosplay community, where it was like, all of a sudden, we're not worth as much money. We're just playing dress up. Like, there's no point in catering to these folks anymore. I don't really understand it, but
I'm gonna,
you know, it is what it is.
I'm gonna point out the obvious, and hopefully it's not a controversial take, but I'm gonna say it comes down to money. comes down to money. Because when you think about conventions just in general, so many of them are volunteer led.
Yes.
It's a lot of the money kind of stays with at the top and just refocusing it onto the next year, or to make a profit from it. Very little of it gets distributed out to the community. And it's so apparent when it comes to the type of content that those conventions offer. It's why you see the same like 10 panels year after year after year after year. They're not willing to invest in that area because, oh, people are still showing up, so it's fine. We can keep doing the same thing. And I think that's also why cosplayers are kind of getting shucked off to the side. They're happy to use us as marketing tools to get people into the door, but we're not going to offer them anything else. If you want to do your own cosplay thing, you pick a corner somewhere in the convention center. We don't care about you. I think essentially what it comes down to is that the conventions don't know that if you actually invest in cosplay, you'll actually get a bigger return out of it. Because we want to come and look at these advanced panels and do the workshops and have more of these fun gatherings and events. But if you're not willing to put anything into it, then why should we bother showing up to it? And it's very apparent, too, when they treat us like garbage because they won't invest anything into it. It's a circle.
I mean, it definitely has shown up as we have experienced and we have heard from others at cosplay contests.
God, yes.
Not just the prizes, but to be able to finance other things like getting quality judges and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Realistically, you have the option to pay money for things, to compensate people for those things, or you can try and go the volunteer run route, in which case you don't end up compensating those folks unless it's, say, with a badge or something. Mm-hmm. And there is a large difference in the participation, I will tell you, between the cons that offer quality prizes mm-hmm. for their contest winners, and those who don't. Mm-hmm. You'll find that a lot of cosplayers will decide that it is not worth their time and effort to participate in a contest if they are not compensated appropriately, let alone compensated enough for the amount of effort and money that they have poured into that costume. This is why contests like the ones at BlizzCon end up being so very popular.
I think it really depends. It's funny because it makes me think back in ye olden times where we were just entering any and every contest because we just wanted to show off our costume.
Yes.
We didn't care about the prizes because we all knew it was going to be dealer's room leftovers. We knew that the prize was going to be nothing burger, but that's okay. We had fun being up on stage, being in character for those 30 seconds, or if you did a skit, you know, for those 3 to 5 minutes, and just showing off our work and showing off our acting. We had a lot of fun with that. But now, because the stakes have gotten higher, people are very, very skilled, and we have done such amazing bananas things with costumes now, we kind of want to get compensated for that time and that work. So if I'm showcasing a costume that cost me $500 to put together, I don't want to get handed a beach towel as my prize. That's not worth my time and energy, not after spending 12 hours in that contest. You got to make it worth my while. And honestly, the one thing that I appreciate like DreamHack doing is for their cosplayers, if you are entering their contest, they give you a badge to the convention, which I'm like, that's a great way to compensate them and encourage them to want to join and do some of the other things too. I'm like, that's cool. Because when you think about it, all of those contestants are giving material to the convention. We're providing a panel. The cosplay contest is the panel. Everybody should be compensated for joining in on that panel.
I would note just how freaking popular the cosplay contest is.
Every time.
At every single convention
I've been to. Every time.
At every convention I have been to,
yeah.
It is standing room only mm-hmm. at the convention for the cosplay contest. People line up literal hours in advance to get front row seats. Mm-hmm. There is a ton of press set up for those cosplay contests. You have entire rows of people that are just sitting there so that they can record high quality video with cameras and take high quality pictures, and not just convention staff as press. I mean, there are people who are from like anime nerdy outlets
or
that are also
actual
like,
publications. Yeah, like sometimes newspaper exactly. publications, sometimes magazine publications. Yeah.
Little TV stations.
Yeah, TV stations will come up.
And so it's not like you're just you know, providing a panel's worth of content. You're providing one of the most popular panels worth of content that people actually carve out a lot of time from their day to go attend.
Mm-hmm. I mean, even the library cons that we've been to, it'll be quiet. And then it's like cosplay contest starting in 20 minutes. And it just, the whole space floods with people. That's just the power that cosplay has. People want to see these costumes in that setting. And it always makes me really, really sad when I hear about these contest coordinators are told like, yeah, your budget's $500. And you're like, but aren't you a big name convention and you're only getting $500 for this huge event? And you got to make it work. And it's like, wow, okay. That's where we see a lot of where conventions are not really helping finance the cosplay events in the way that they should be financed and supported.
And from the panelist point of view, mm-hmm. as somebody who has done volunteer panels for many years on cosplay, it used to be that convention panelists would always get a free badge. Mm-hmm. Even if all you offered was one panel for an hour, you'd still get a free badge. Now, granted, you'd still have to go through the application process. It wasn't like you automatically get accepted for whatever panel you were offering. It still had to be quality content. Mm-hmm. But they would always give you a weekend badge for the con. Nowadays, panelists sometimes aren't compensated at all, mm-hmm. and they have to buy their own badge. Mm-hmm. I will tell you that as a panelist, if I have to buy my own badge for the day, I'm not offering the panel. Because not only are you doing the panel on a volunteer basis, so you're not being compensated for all of the research you do into that panel, any materials that you acquire for that panel, and the time you spend actually presenting the panel, you're not being compensated for any of that. And I will tell you that back in the day, a weekend badge was $35. Nowadays, you can't even get a single day badge for under 50 at a lot of cons.
Under 100.
That is a lot. That is a lot of money.
Yeah.
To pay on top of all of the stuff that you are doing to prep for your panel. And again, you're also paying for all the other stuff like parking, and depending on the panel that you offer, you may end up having to get hotel room just to have storage space. Which we've had to do on many an occasion, mm-hmm. as panelists, is we've had to have storage space because we had enough stuff to bring to the panel that we needed it. And so that's extra money on top. And so that very much discourages what would be quality panels from being offered at your con. It's such a small gesture to comp a badge, mm-hmm. for a panelist. Like, don't, I understand why cons do the whole time requirement thing. Like, you have to do X number of hours of content or volunteer for X number of hours to get a badge. I get why they do it, but it's such a small thing to comp a panelist for a weekend badge that it ends up really being worth your investment, mm-hmm. because that the amount of money you're putting into that badge, you are probably getting back at that panel.
Oh,
and then some.
Easily. Absolutely. If it's a type of panel where it potentially has the room for growth, or that you know that a lot of people will flock to, you've already more than made up for that free badge that you gave to the panelists, because now you have 150 people that are sitting in on the panel room that probably wouldn't have attended otherwise. That's always that potential.
Exactly. And those are butts in seats and eyeballs at your con.
More money for them to spend.
Yeah. And I mean, for a lot of folks, they don't necessarily attend a con just for one panel. But if they're there anyway, then they will go see other parts of your con. They will go experience those other things. They will go to the dealer's den, to the artist alley. They will go to your concerts, that sort of thing. The other thing is that if you can get workshops at your con, those tend to be the best attended cosplay panels outside of the cosplay contest. I have attended dyeing workshops, DYE, as in fabric dye. Mm-hmm. I have attended leatherworking workshops. I have attended sewing workshops. Those are always waiting listed because there are so many people who are interested in doing hands-on learning that those are always return for your buck. But they're so hard to get at cons because you have to go through, again, the approval process, and then not everybody will comp the badge, let alone get them a big enough room so that they can have the workshop, make sure they've got all the supplies you need, which means, again, you have to have a hotel room because you have to bring all the workshop supplies with you and all that stuff. But those are such a good payoff. And they apply to more than cosplay. I mean, yes, it's usually cosplayers that are attending it, but knowing how to leatherwork outside of cosplay is awesome. Knowing how to sew outside of cosplay is awesome. Please offer more of those things, and please also comp your panelists appropriately.
So I'm trying to think of how we could wrap this up. Other than to say, I think as cosplayers, the one piece of advice I could give is do your best to advocate for yourself. It's challenging, but determine what you are worth and what you are willing to put into a convention as far as what they are willing to compensate you for. If you're cool with just a badge, then hey, you do you. If you're flying to another country or to another state, be like, they need to cover travel expenses. They need to cover my hotel room. There needs to be a meal stipend. You know, make sure that you make it clear what you need in order for you to do your job successfully, because it is a job. If you want to guest at a convention, it is a lot of work and a lot of hours, and you need to be properly compensated for it. Same thing if you are a cosplayer who wants to teach a panel at your local convention, make sure you're properly compensated for it, whether that be the badge, whether they give you like free parking. You know, you do what is best for you and what makes sense for you, because I can't tell you exactly, oh, do this, this, and this. There's not like a checklist. Everybody's a little bit different. But be sure that you make the effort to be your best advocate, because the more that cosplayers advocate for themselves, the better it'll get across the convention scene as a whole.
I would say that not everybody necessarily knows the impact that cosplay can have at a convention, because some staff are very new. Some staff have no experience with cosplay whatsoever. And so if you can volunteer at your local con, not necessarily just as a panelist, but even as a staffer, so that you can help show the impact cosplay can have, show how much of a return it can be at the convention, and just show the value that it has, to demonstrate that to them, to highlight it, it may actually help more people to acknowledge just what a force cosplay can be, both obviously at the convention staff level, but also just to the vibe it adds to your con itself. Having a con that has a ton of cosplayers is a very different con than one that really doesn't. And so if you have the ability to leverage your influence to help with that, please do. But as Val said, even in that case, make sure that you are not working for free unless that's what you want to do. Make sure that you're still being appropriately compensated. Just, I'm saying that if you have that ability and you have the opportunity, you might be able to help raise up the rest of the community and give them that chance, that opportunity at a con that may not have just known.
It's also a good place to even just make small suggestions like, hey, cosplay contest, have you guys thought about having chairs for your contestants? Have you thought about having a backstage area? Have fans available, have easy access to water in a bathroom. Hey, have something for your stage so it's easy for everybody to access the stage, on and off the stage. Ramps are fantastic. Why are ramps not the default for the stages? It's not that much more difficult than installing the stairs. You know, even just making little suggestions like that, especially when you are in a staff member position, whether or not you're like a volunteer at the bottom of the totem pole or at the top rung, making it known that this is what cosplayers want will ensure that it benefits everybody. And over time, you will see that benefit impact across the space.
I mean, even something as small of a suggestion as at the restaurant that a lot of hotels have, maybe have a cosplay contest watch party.
Yeah.
Because that way those who can't actually get into the room, they can still participate. They can still watch, maybe have a good meal. You know, it helps the restaurant out. They get to have good food, so it helps the cosplayers out. And they get to watch the contest on a big screen TV. Win for everybody. I mean, just little things like that can really help the overall experience and broaden the participation and make the community feel welcome. And expose more people to cosplay that maybe didn't even know what the heck it was.
I like this comment from Going Ape Costume. So I tell cons I've worked at that I'm there to spread goodwill and happy, that the conversations and kindness keep people in that building. That means money gets spent at vendors and people return next year. 150%. Yes. When people have a good time, they're likely to return next year and spend even more money. It's a very simple concept.
They bring friends.
Yep, we tell our friends and say, this con was fantastic. You should go next year. Okay. It's really that simple. Word of mouth is very strong.
Experience at a con travels super fast. And friends generally trust friends whenever they're talking about their experiences at a con. And so if you have a friend that says, yeah, this was complete crap, don't bother wasting your time or your money, that hurts the con, like, instantly, because people will trust your input. But if you say here that the staff was really kind, everybody was really welcome to cosplayers, the con was very focused on accessibility and making sure that everybody was able to participate and that sort of thing, that goes a long way in the community.
TLDR, if you're a convention owner, please listen to cosplayers. We make things better. Thank you.
It really does improve the con. And you'll hear in the community folks of at least a certain age or who have been to conventions for a time, people will very fondly talk about, like, the good old days of conventions.
Oh, yeah.
When cosplay was popular. There's a reason why they were the good old days. It's obviously it's a combination of things, but having cosplay be a main part of the con was a good part of what made those cons good for a lot of people.
Exactly.
So please bring it back. we're not saying turn back the clock. We're saying turn a new page and bring cosplay back into the fold, and cosplayers are willing to help you, but you have to meet them halfway.
Yeah. We want things to get better for everybody because it makes your convention better. Yay.
And it makes our convention better too.
Yeah.
So on that note, of course, if you have suggestions for different ways that conventions can improve their cosplay scene, feel free to let us know via any of our social media, which of course you can find here.
All of the social media information is located right there beneath Amber if you are watching us, or down there in the show notes. Enjoy those. Otherwise, if you are listening to us, visit us at cospod.org, on Facebook and Instagram at Cosplay Podcast, on YouTube as Cos Podcast, and on Blue Sky as Cospod.
Or if you feel more comfortable, you can also email us. podcast@cospod.org, where you get an answer from each one of us, along with curated Nick Cage memes.
I need to go look at that folder. I misplaced it the other day and I was kind of freaking out a little bit. I found it.
We will fix those. We will do spring cleaning because it is the time of year for that. Happy spring, everybody. Otherwise, please stay safe, stay healthy out there. Allergies are getting really bad this time of year, so that we can all see your smiling, shining faces at a convention local to us ASAP, including all of you new, first-time new cosplayers.
Yay, we love that.
Yes, we love to see those. We love to see pictures of it, too. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we'll see you all next time in episode 314. Happy pie episode, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye.